know if anybody's interested in joining me. But I think I'm going to do some exercise. I think I'm going to go out for a jog. I think I'm going to go out for a run. I don't know. I might even enter a race now that I'm ready to go. I'm ready for my run. So what's wrong with this picture? Anybody here go out for a run? You do a jog? Is this how you do it? Huh? No. No, this isn't what you do. You don't hang a weight around your neck. You don't carry, some people carry those little tiny dumbbells in their hands. You don't carry heavy weights with you. How can you run? How can you enter a race carrying all kinds of weight with you? You know, the Bible says that this Christian life is a race. We're on a run. We're focused on keeping our eyes on Jesus. We're keeping our eyes on the prize. We want to finish the race. We want to win the prize that God has for us. But how can you run the race carrying all these heavy weights? Oh, we want to run this race with patience and endurance. And I'm tired already. And perseverance. You know, the Bible says if you're going to run a race following Jesus all the way home to victory, to heaven, you gotta get rid of these weights. You gotta cast them off. You gotta throw aside everything. All the sins and all the weights that will hold you down, hold you back, slow you down. You can't run the race that is marked out before us as believers carrying all these weights. So why do we? Why do we? Why do we carry all of these weights that hinder us, keep us from moving forward, not being all that God wants us to be, not receiving all that He has for us to receive? Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us." The King James says, "Let us lay aside every weight." Lay aside all of these weights that we carry in our lives. Get rid of the weights. Take them off so that we can run and win this race in victory. What about you, my friend, today? Do you have any weights in your life that's holding you back? Is there anything that's keeping you where you are, preventing you from receiving all that God has for you, from moving forward in Christ, from living in victory? I think just about all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we're honest with God, just about every one of us has a weight of some sort that we're carrying around in our life, and we need to drop the weights. I wonder what's holding you back today. What's holding you back? Is there anything in your life that's keeping you where you are? holding you back. Paul had this concern. In his own life, that's why he said, "This one thing I do." He wanted to finish the race. He wanted to win the prize. So he had a plan. See, if you don't have a plan, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. Nothing will be different. You just keep doing the same things over and over and over again. You need a plan. You need a purpose. You need a goal. You need a plan. So he had a plan. If you shoot for nothing, you'll hit it every time. And his plan involved two things. First, it involved getting rid of all the weights, anything that hindered him, that would slow him down, especially the weight of his past. Then the second part of his plan was to always keep pressing on, always moving forward, going toward what God had ahead of him. We started this last week, and I want us to look again today at what Paul had to say about himself and his own life and what he was saying to each and every one of us today. So I turn your attention again to our text in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The title of my message today is "Let Go of the Past, Part 2. Heavenly Father, I believe that if we're truly honest with you and with ourselves, and we look into ourselves, into our own life, I think probably without exception, every one of us here is carrying some kind of weight in our life, a burden, something that's holding us back. Paul said that he wanted to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of him. Lord, you saved us. You began us on a new journey. You gave us a new life. You took hold of us for a reason, with a plan, for a purpose, to take us all the way home, and in the meantime, to make us like Jesus. Lord, help us to get a hold of what you have for us. Too many of us live lives that are less than what you have for us, than what you intend for us. Lord, as a pastor, I want to see every one of these people, every person in this church, to be set free, to be all that they can be in Jesus. But we got to drop the weights, and we need your help to do it. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. So I pray, God, that you would just speak to us today, that you would open our eyes and reveal the truth to us, the reality to us. What is holding us back? There's something holding us back, God, that we need to lay aside, to drop, to get rid of. Help us to see it, Lord, and then to do something about it, and to move forward into all that you have for us. Lord, speak by your Holy Spirit, and may each and every one of us listen and receive and respond. Lord, one more time. Please send your anointing to be upon me, that I can speak the words of God today in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is telling us simply this, let go of the past and embrace your future. Let go of the past and embrace your future. If you are going to get there, if you're going to get there where God wants you to go, where He wants to take you, what He wants to do in your life, if you're going to get there, one thing's for sure, you can't stay here. Too many people are stuck in the here, and God wants to take you there. Can't stay stuck in or held back or weighed down by your past. We must move on. Turn to the person next to you and say, we must move on. We can't stay here. We must move on. Transformed into the image of Christ, learning, growing, maturing in our faith. We must put the past behind and move on in Christ. So Paul, in verse 13, says that he is forgetting what is behind. So what exactly is it that he needs to forget? What does he want us? What does he want you to forget? And I believe there's two things that he wants to forget, that he wants us to forget. We looked at the first thing last week, and we're going to do a little review of this first thing before we move on to the second. First thing that Paul says we need to forget, we need to let go of negative things. We need to let go of negative things. We agreed last week that we all have a past. We all have things in our lives, in our past, that we'd like to change. I know I sure do. Know of anybody with a perfect past? Haven't met him yet. Doubt that I will. We all have things that we need to forget, that we need to put behind us. And in order to grow and move forward, we need to drop the weights. See, they'll still come after you. We need to let go of, we need to forget our past sins and our failures and our mistakes, as well as our hurt and our pain. Anybody have any of that? As many people do, Paul carried around a lot of baggage from his former life, from his past, things that he was ashamed of, because Paul caused a lot of hurt. And he had been hurt a lot. Things that he wished had never happened in his life. Do you have anything that you wished had never happened? Come on. But Paul says, what I did, what I was yesterday is past. It's over. It's under the blood of Jesus. It's forgiven and it's forgotten. You see, in Christ, you, I'm talking to you. So I want you to know, I'm not talking to the person next to you today. I'm talking to you. In Christ, you are a new person. Your sins are forgiven and forgotten as if it never happened. But too many people, yes, Christians, go through life carrying baggage around from their past. They try to run the race holding on to the weights. It doesn't work, my friend. It doesn't work. And then they wonder why it seems like they're not getting anywhere. If I went out there to try to run down the street carrying those weights, I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm not going to last very long. I'm going to collapse in a heap of failure. We wonder why we don't get, why we can't move forward. We wonder why things don't change. We wonder why we can't get a hold of the victory. We wonder why we just get stuck in life. Well, there's a solution. Aren't you glad that in God there's always a solution? The solution is we've got to let the Holy Spirit heal our hearts. We need to accept and receive God's grace and His mercy in our lives. What can change your life? What can change your life? What can release you from the past? The amazing mercy of God. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul is talking about a struggle in his life. But Jesus said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness." Do you have a weight? God's grace is sufficient. You have a weakness? God's grace is enough. Give the weight to God. Stop carrying it yourself. Admit your weakness and give it to God. Because when we are weak, He is strong. Titus chapter 3, we read these words. "At one time, we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." See, the past. But, verse 4, Titus 3, 4, but, I'm glad with God there's always a but. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us." He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. Because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, the truth of God's word is that you, my friend, you, I'm talking to you, you can be healed from your past. You can be renewed by the Holy Spirit. You can be set free by the power of God. Will you let God release you from your past and set those weights aside and begin to live in the victory that Christ has already won for you? God is a God of new beginnings. Jesus can give you a brand new start. I don't know where you are today, but wherever you are, Jesus can give you a brand new start. Today is a new day. Please don't let the past pull you down anymore. And don't let others cast up your past. I'm glad that when God forgives us, He doesn't cast up our past anymore. People might. Who are you going to listen to? Them or Him? There is no past that God cannot heal. There is no past that God cannot heal. And there is no person that God cannot change. Do you need to be set free from something in your past today? Remember, you cannot truly move forward until you forget, until you let go of the past. Please stop trying to run the race carrying all of those weights. We've all been hurt in some way. I don't think I've ever met anybody who's never been hurt in some way. But our present, because of that hurt, our present is often affected. It's often colored by our past. Our future can be crushed. It can be ruined by the past. But don't let your past become a weight that will keep you from victory in Jesus. Don't let hurts from the past hold you back or cheat you out of what God wants to do in your life or what you can become in Him. or past pain. How others have hurt us, how we have hurt ourselves, can be healed by the grace and the power of God through the Holy Spirit. You know, this altar, I have a vision for this altar. I have a vision for this altar area of it being full of people coming down to Jesus. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being healed from their hurts, being forgiven of their sins, chains being broken, people being set free, lives being changed, people becoming what God wants them to be, receiving all God has for them. This altar can be a place of healing for you even today. And in a little bit, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come forward and to let go of your past, to let God have your past, to let God have your past, and to give your hurts and the people who have hurt you, to give them to God. Let Him have them. Let Him handle them. And allow the Holy Spirit to remove those weights of the past from your life at this altar. Letting go of negative things. Let's move on to the second thing that I believe, just as importantly, that Paul wants us to let go of, to forget, and that is positive things. Positive things. Good things. You say, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. I understand letting go of bad things. Why should I want to let go of good things? Well, I'm going to tell you. You see, friends, believe it or not, sometimes the greatest weights, sometimes the greatest weights that we carry around in our lives can be our religion. Can be our religion. I'm glad those steps were well constructed. You know, sometimes we need to forget. We need to move beyond the good things from our past. Stay with me, and I'll explain. Sometimes we need to move past our religious experiences and our spiritual accomplishments. Yes, we should always learn and grow from our past experiences. We appreciate God's blessings from the past. We thank God for all the good things that He's done, all the times that He's brought us through, the places that He's led us through. Nothing should diminish or take away from that. We should always have gratitude in our hearts for what God has done in our lives. It's good to stop and reflect and remember what God has done. But, and this is a really huge but, we cannot stay there. We cannot stay there. Friend, you can't remain in the past. You can't stay in the past. Remember, if you're going to get there, one thing's for sure, you can't stay here. Now, maybe you're satisfied with what God has already done. Maybe you're satisfied with where you are, but I'm not. God doesn't want me to stay here. He wants me to take me over there. Because God's never done with us. He always has more. But listen to what Paul says. The truth that he recognized about himself. In verses 3 through 6 of Philippians chapter 3, he describes himself and his past. And he says, "For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, well, I've got more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Wow. That's pretty impressive. Paul had a pretty good spiritual religious resume. He could have put his spiritual past up against anybody else and won. He had some pretty impressive religious credentials, some spiritual, he had some bragging rights. But he realized this, none of it was good enough. He went a little further in verses 7 through 9. He says, but, that but always seems to come in there. But whatever was to my profit, I hope you're getting this. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything. Somebody say everything. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. In fact, he says, I consider them stuff that Burtek picks up on Monday morning. I consider them trash, rubbish, garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. In other words, he's saying this, I had everything spiritually, religiously, but everything is nothing compared to Christ. It's nothing. Elsewhere, he says that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but with soberness of judgment. Everything that I am, everything that I've done, everything that's happened to me, and I had the awesome blessing and privilege of growing up in a Christian home, growing up in an Assemblies of God church, everything is nothing compared to Christ. You see, friends, it's all about knowing Him. It's all about being in Him, not then, not back then, but now. It's not about me. I'm nothing. It's about Him and who He is and what He has done. He goes a little further. Verses 10 and 11. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ, Paul says. Nothing else compares. Nothing else matters. It's all a waste. It's all loss. It's all rubbish compared to knowing Christ. Your relationship with Christ today, right here, right now, is what it's all about. Knowing Him personally, being in a continual fellowship with Him, being full of His power. And then, with all of that background, all of that past, he says in verse 12, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on. See, for Paul, the bottom line is simply this. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. You know, I remember my worst day. You remember your worst day? I remember my worst day. But after a while, I came to the realization that my worst day was actually my best day. My worst day was really my best day. Because it was the day that I came to the end of myself. When I was broken, when I had nothing left but Jesus. I realized that who I was simply not enough. That God was more. I realized that I just wasn't there yet. That God had more. My friend, no matter where you are, how long you've been a Christian, you're not there yet. You can't stop now. You cannot rest in the past. We need to let go of relying on what God did yesterday. And we need to seek His face for what He wants to do in your life today. The new and the fresh things that God has for you right now. Because like Paul, you're not there yet. God has more for you. God has more for you. But listen, you'll miss it. You will miss it if you just stay where you are. Please don't ever accept where you are, what you've done, as good enough. The past, as good as it may be, can lull you into a false sense of spiritual security and hinder what God wants to do in your life today. Please, please don't ever think that you've arrived, or please don't ever be content with where you are in Christ. Don't ever be content. Somebody once asked this question: what's the biggest room in the world? What's the biggest room in the world? Room for improvement. Room for improvement. You see, my friends, we must all recognize that the biggest enemy to our spiritual growth and development, the biggest enemy to moving forward in our lives, is us. Ourselves. Sometimes the weight that holds us back from more, going the next step in Christ, growing in faith, moving forward into what God wants to do in our lives, the biggest weight is our past religious experiences. Because you can't live in the past. You can't live on the past. You can't let the past make you satisfied that that's all there is. That's all God has. That's all God wants to do. Our past religious and spiritual training, our education, our great experiences that we've had in God. Yes, our salvation, our water baptism, healing, great revelations, ministry, services attended, our knowledge of the Bible, even our baptism in the Holy Spirit. Our past accomplishments, our successes, our victories, our miracles that God, it's not enough for today. It's good, but it's not enough for today. I'm glad, forever grateful for what God, all so much God has done for me and what He's brought me through and all that He's taught me, but it's not enough. I want more. I need more. I need more. Have you arrived? Have you arrived? Can I be pastorally honest? Frank? There's a lot of people who act like they've arrived. They've already got it. They've already received it. They already know it. They've already arrived. Have you arrived? Or do you recognize that God has more? And are you willing to grow? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to God? Are you willing to let God do something new in your life? Do you want more? Paul sure did. He said, I haven't obtained all this. I've not already been made perfect. I'm not there yet. So this is what I do. I press on. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep pressing on to take hold of all that God has for me. You see, the past is simply not enough for today. You know, when I got my car, one of the first things I did was I went to a gas station, I filled it up with gas. Filled that tank all the way up. Filled it up with gas. And glory to God, I've been driving it ever since. I got some really good gas, or else I have a phenomenal car that gets more miles to the gallon than any other car I ever created. Because I'm just driving that baby around on that original tank of gas. I don't have to stop at the gas station. I don't have to waste any more time or money. I just keep driving that car because when I got it, I filled it up, filled that tank up with gas, and I'm still driving her. You believe that? I'll tell you another one. No, the fact is, I drove that car so fast, that tank went down in a hurry. Pretty soon I was on E. And I need to go into a gas station and fill it up again. And again. And again. And again. And again. Some Christians act like they can keep driving their Christian life on and on and on with their original fill-up. You see, what I received from God yesterday is not enough for today. It's an old story that's told, maybe you've heard it, about a mom that was teaching her daughter how to cook, and they were making pot roast one night. She got the pot roast. She's going to put it in the pot. And she taught her daughter that the first thing we need to do is we need to cut off a couple inches from each end of the pot roast. And then we put it in the pot and cook it. Well, the little girl questioned her mom. And she said, Mom, I don't understand. Why do we cut off a few inches from each end of the roast before we cook it? And her mom says, well, I'm not rightly sure. She says, I just know that when my mom, your grandma, taught me how to cook, that's how she taught me. You cut a couple inches off each end of the pot roast before you put it in the pot. Well, mom was a little curious now herself that her daughter had brought it up. So the next time she was with her mom, grandma, she said, Mom, I remember many years ago when you were teaching me to cook pot roast, you taught me to cut a few inches off of each end before you cook it. Why did you do that? And she says, well, you see, many years ago, your father and I were kind of poor, and I didn't have very many pots. I didn't have different sizes. I only had one pot, and it just wasn't big enough for the pot roast, so I had to cut a couple inches off each end to fit it in the pot. And we've been passing it down ever since. You see, what worked yesterday isn't good enough to work today. Where are you in your faith, in your fellowship, in your relationship, in your walk with Christ right now? Maybe it worked a few years ago. Maybe it was enough way back. But what is God doing now? What is He working in your life right now? Are you there yet? Today is a new day. You can't live on the crest of yesterday's wave. Your life in Christ must be fresh and new and ongoing each and every day. Yeah, what God did yesterday was great. But are you right with God today? What's God doing in your life right now? What more does He want to do in you? Yesterday's victories were good, but we need to move on. God has new things for you today. And again, in just a moment, I'm going to open up these altars. And I'm going to invite you to come and to seek God for more. Maybe you need to come and repent. Repent for accepting good enough in your life. Repent for getting stuck in what's happened in the past. In old religion, in old spirituality. To repent of accepting and being content with what God did in you yesterday. Repent of staying where you are, stuck in the past, and not letting God do a new thing in your life. Paul said, this one thing I do. One thing I do. He had to do something. What are you doing? What are you doing in your life to let go of the past? What are you doing to throw off everything, to lay aside every weight? What are you doing to forget, to let go of those things that are behind, that are slowing you down and keeping you from running this race? The past is over. It's behind us. What will you do with it? Don't try to run the race carrying the weights, the burdens and the baggage from the past. Maybe there's some sins, some failures, some mistakes, some hurts, some pains that are pulling you down, keeping you from moving forward and growing in Christ. Will you come to the altar and give them to God? Let go of it. Let God set you free. Don't let the past ruin the present. Keep you from the future that God has for you. Maybe your weight is your spiritual past. I'm going to close with this. My dad, he always had a saying. My dad used to say this. The only thing good about the good old days, the only thing good about the good old days is that they're over. It's that they're over. Are you stuck in the past? In the good old days? Relying on what God has done in the past? Are you living on yesterday's experiences? Are you satisfied with what God has already done? It was good for then, but it's not enough for today. Because here's what I know. For each and every one of you, including this preacher, I'm not there yet. God has more for you. But you got to drop the weights. And you got to seek Him for more. God has something fresh. He has something new. He wants to take you further. He wants to take you deeper. Don't get caught in a false sense of spiritual security. Don't lose your passion, your fervor for Christ and the things of God that need to be fresh today. Will you come? Let the Holy Spirit do a new work in your life. Don't stay where you are. Let God take you there. Let Him take you to places you've never been before. Stu, in a minute I'm going to ask you to put on. But I want to ask everyone just for a minute. We draw this service to a close. Going to open up these altars in just a second. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a minute. Very, very quickly, I want to ask two things. Number one, I want to ask, is there anybody here? Because I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody here that says, Pastor, I need Jesus in my life. I've never given my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Never asked Him to forgive me of my sins. I've never asked Him to be my Savior. But I want to now. I want to come to Christ now. Or maybe you have in the past, but you need to come back to Him. Is there anybody? Just lift up your hand, not going to embarrass you. Just want to pray for you. Anybody would say, I need to come to Christ today. Second question follows. You're a Christian, you're a believer, but you're hanging on to weights. And you need to let go. There's some weights you need to let go of today. Bad things from the past, or maybe good things from the past. You want to be set free from the past. You want to give it to God. You want God to do a new thing. You want God to do more in your life. Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Yes, God bless you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. You can raise your heads. And now I'm going to ask Stu to put on an altar song. And I want to ask you to take advantage of this opportunity and come forward and spend some time at the altar. Give it to God and let Him do something new in your life today. Stu, God bless you. The altars are open. Will you come?
so much more than anything. I need you more.
I just feel like worshiping a little bit more, so keep that song coming. Talks about set a fire in my heart. God has more. If you need to leave, please consider yourself dismissed. But if you're at the altar, you keep praying. And if you want to hang around with me and sing this song, and let's just worship a little bit more before we go. Praise God. Hallelujah.
intentions, a lot more honest than a politician. It's worth more than the money in your pocket. It won't back down, no one can stop it. Love, 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 love.